Friday, August 23rd. London suffered its first night air raid in the aerial blitzkrieg from small elements of high-flying Nazi raiders who dropped bombs in three sections of the suburbs last night before being driven off. The British retaliate in kind to the German long-range firing across the English Channel. Rome reports raids by air on Alexandria as English and Italian naval fleets mass near Crete in anticipation of some Italian move toward Greece. Now the news from the German capital.
This is Berlin. This morning we have a brief report from the DNB, the official news agency, that the German Air Force continued its attacks with unabated vigor over England yesterday and last night. That is all we have from this side as regards reports from Britain that London was bombed last night by German planes. And this same report says that off Dover, a British convoy was dispersed and serious damage was done to a number of ships. This attack on the convoy may have been done with German long-range guns on the French coast. But there's no direct confirmation of that or of the report that England was shelled yesterday by these artillery batteries. At the Foreign Office press conference this morning, it was stated that the use of the long-range guns would be the last phase of the English tragedy. However, we may have more detailed reports later in the day when the official army communique is released. The official news here this morning also tells us that several harbors in Scotland were bombed, while other raiding attacks were directed against industrial plants in central England and aircraft factories and airfields in southern England. Germans claim 11 British planes were shot down yesterday, while the home team lost only three. Today is the first anniversary of the signing of the historic Russian-German non-aggression pact that preceded this war. This pact had people across ideological barricades. Well, the Folkshire Beobachter in the front page editorial this morning fittingly remarks that the history of Europe will give a special place to this day in its pages. The anniversary comments here state that the pact is a great success for Germany and Russia. As this paper points out, that because of the pact, quote, the danger of the largest extension of the war on the continent of Europe has been disposed of, and the two countries have placed their relations on a basis which is most in line with their traditions and their economic and political possibilities. For previous conflicts between the two countries had always proved to be, to say the least, unprofitable for both of them. End of quote. This editorial continues, stating that Russia and Germany have no cause for conflict as of their living space, and that they don't disturb each other economically, and that in numerous fields they are completely and independently themselves. Beobachter concludes by stating that no attempts or intrigues, particularly by the British, have succeeded in disrupting the relations between Russia and Germany. In the last few weeks, there's been a noticeable tightening up of the air raid defense system in Berlin. Automobiles are required to use a special new type of non-reflecting road light. Air raid wardens have been given refresher courses about their duties during an air raid, and the police are handing out penalties instead of warnings for those who violate the blackout regulations. And now this morning, Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring has issued a new announcement to Berliners about air raids, containing a new concession. Henceforth, if the air raid siren sounds, people will not have to go down to the shelters. They will only have to take shelter if they hear the bark of anti-aircraft guns or see searchlights playing in the sky. And the Reichsmarschall adds that anyone who then does not go down to the shelters does so at his own risk. But in any case, it is forbidden to remain out in the streets during an air raid. This new announcement points out that several times recently, enemy planes have visited Berlin at night, and that the new regulations are only for Berlin itself. The Rhineland cities have avowed their own regulations about air raids, for their problems are different in view of the fact that the British concentrate on that area. The desired formula is to provide a maximum of safety with a minimum of disturbance to the ordinary daily routine of the people living in those areas. This is Edwin Hartridge, a returning out of Columbia in New York.
This is New York. Here's a dispatch from Cairo. A Royal Air Force communique asserted today that British airplanes had sunk two Italian submarines, a destroyer, and a submarine depot ship. Now a dispatch from Rome. Authoritative quarters denied categorically today that Italy had served an ultimatum on Greece, giving her 24 hours to renounce her British guarantees. Now the news direct from the British capital, reported by Larry Lesser. Go ahead, London.
This is London. A sleepy, eye-rubbing London, for the war came home to Piccadilly last night. Just before dawn, the deep rumble of exploding bombs could be heard in the center of this, the world's largest city. Even before the sirens sent millions of Londoners in their pajamas and dressing gowns into the cellars of their apartment houses, the noise and flashes of anti-aircraft guns burst in the star-studded sky. Reporters for the morning newspapers wrote their stories about London's first night bombing without moving from their newspaper plants in Fleet Street. They merely looked out the window to see German bombers picked out by the pale fingers of London searchlights. This morning we learned that the bombs dropped on a London suburb had damaged two moving picture houses, a bank, a saloon, a big dance hall, and a number of private houses. Casualties, though, are reported to be very few. Only one death is announced. Not many bombs were dropped. There were very few people in the streets when I walked out after being awakened by the rattling of my windows. The anti-aircraft fire was intense, though, long before the air raid siren sounded. High overhead, the drone of the twin-engine German planes filled the night sky. Many people were already in the shelters before the alarm was given, and a number of them wisely stayed there until some time after the all-clear was sounded. The Air Ministry communique this morning says that German aircraft were over this country, operating singly or in small numbers. Besides the bombs dropped on the London suburbs, areas in England, South Wales, and a town in northeast Scotland were hit. Apparently, the German bombers are not so accurate in their attacks on military targets as the British claim theirs to be in their night raids over enemy territory. The German guns mounted on the French coast continued their shelling of the Dover area for nearly an hour last night. It was the first systematic shelling of Britain by land guns. After the shelling of a convoy in the Straits ended late yesterday afternoon, when the ships steamed out of range, the German big guns let loose again shortly after 9 o'clock. It was nearly 10 o'clock before these little burses ceased fire. By that time, Royal Air Force bombers were heading for the French coast. From the cliffs at Dover, observers heard the crump of British bombs, apparently aimed at the German gun emplacement. Great flashes could be seen across the 22 miles of channel. But about a half hour later, the German guns roared into life again. This morning, a British communique states that the German shells caused damage to buildings in the Dover area, and there were a number of casualties. One of the German shells went through the stained glass window of a Dover church and exploded inside. Another shell fell behind a crowded movie house and rocked it violently, but the show went on. A telephone call to an observer at Dover this morning revealed that the German guns have not been in action today, and the damage to buildings there is not very great. There's news from the Balkans this morning, as yet unconfirmed. The Daily Telegraph correspondent in Belgrade reports that reliable sources have told him that Italy has given Greece 24 hours in which to renounce the British guarantee of aid in the event of an attack. Hostilities would follow if she refused. In the small hours of this morning, Greek defense ministers conferred with General Metaxas, the Greek prime minister, in Athens. But the Greek foreign office denies that Italy has demanded that Greece renounce the British guarantee. Reliable reports from Athens state, however, that the extraordinary session of the Greek leaders discussed reported concentration of Italian troops on the Albanian frontier. Great Britain has a reply for the new types of German planes which the Germans are using in the Battle of Britain. Although the Heinkel 113 fighter has not been used in large numbers against the Royal Air Force, it is regarded by the British pilots as a tough customer. But Britain is countering with a new fighter which they claim will be the fastest in the world. And against the German Dornier 215, which is a variation on the old flying pencil and has come over this island in large numbers in the past month, Britain is introducing her own long-range, high-altitude bomber. Although the German news agency this morning reports that British guns shelled France from across the Channel, sources in London today refuse to deny or confirm that Britain either possesses long-range guns or that they were in action yesterday. We return you now to CBS in New York.
And that was Larry Lesser reporting from London. Here in New York is Linton Wells with more news and an analysis of the latest news reports. Mr. Wells.
The zero hour draws nearer when Hitler must let loose everything he has on Britain's civilian centers as well as military concentrations, manufactures, and communications. And this morning's Nazi air raids on London's residential sections, about which Larry Vasseur told us from the British capital this morning, is but a slight taste of what the British Isles will be asked to eat in large mouthful if and when weather and other considerations indicate to Hitler and company that the time is propitious. Servers hit you for a tough time of it this winter. In fact, it is not improbable that the RAF will soon give Berlin a taste of Nazi bombing medicine in reprisal for this morning's raid on London and other non-military objectives. The RAF has demonstrated repeatedly that it can lay eggs on Berlin. Now we may hear about them doing it. Mars is focusing his spotlight a little more clearly today upon Greece. The Metaxas cabinet of Greece and King George held a special cabinet meeting soon after midnight. And after a discussion of reported new Italian troop concentrations on the Albanian frontier of Greece, began the drafting of so-called emergency measures to deal with the situation. These measures will probably include increased mobilization of Greek manpower and other preparations designed for the defense of the state. As Larry Lesser reported from London, it has been stated in Greek official circles that Italy has not yet made any formal demands for the surrender of Greek territory. But the Italian press has grown more violent in its demands that the Italo-Greek quarrel be settled by the immediate satisfaction of Albanian claims to Chiomuria, a corner of the ancient Greek province of Epirus, which was taken from Albania by Greece in 1914. There also are indications that Italy will demand Greece's cession of the island of Corfu and perhaps her entire Dalmatian coast. While increased Italo-Albanian forces are reportedly being rushed to the Greek frontier, Athens hears that British and Italian war fleets are cruising off the island of Crete in anticipation of an Italian move against Greece, and that Italian planes have attacked the British naval units. Yesterday, Great Britain let it be known that she would come to the rescue of Greece with all of her military force in the event of an Italian invasion, which most observers believe Greece cannot and probably will not attempt to resist. That the British promise is not encouraging as it may sound at first hearing. The British are too fully occupied in North Africa and the extreme eastern Mediterranean to give Greece full support without being backed up by Turkey. An Anglo-Turkish treaty promises Britain full military support in the event the status quo in the eastern Mediterranean is threatened, and provided, too, that Turkey does not have to wage war against Russia. Certainly, the status quo in the eastern Mediterranean has been threatened and disturbed since Italy entered the war last June, but Turkey remains non-belligerent. However, now that the Italians are threatening to invade Greece and pitch camp on Turkey's front doorstep in eastern Macedonia, perhaps the Turks will throw in their lot with Britain and fulfill treaty obligations, even though they will be coming to the rescue of a detested hereditary enemy, the Greeks. Hitler's attitude in this Italo-Greek situation has not been clarified. He has exerted every effort to prevent the Balkan powder magazine from exploding. Now Mussolini, his Axis partner, has lighted another fuse to it, but Berlin apparently has not attempted to stamp it out. In fact, Athens hears unconfirmed rumors that Hitler has given Mussolini a green light in his present military adventure, which, if it succeeds, will certainly make Britain's position in the eastern Mediterranean less secure. On the other hand, the British position in Egypt appears to be improving, much to the disappointment of Rome. The fascists have been hoping to keep Egyptian troops neutralized during the impending Italian drive eastward from Libya toward the Suez Canal. But last night, the Egyptian Minister of War announced that Egyptian troops have now taken up positions alongside their English allies and will fulfill the government's promise of yesterday to fight in the event the Italians invade Egypt. British pressure on Egypt apparently has finally produced satisfactory results, although these should have been produced long ago, considering Italy's repeated air raids on Egyptian cities, including one on Alexandria this morning.
And with this analysis by Linton Wells from New York, we conclude this morning report of European developments, which comes to you each morning at this time. Edwin Hartridge reported earlier from Berlin. Larry Lesser reported from London. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.